The whole Indian of Korach v'Adasai is the machlekes with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's hard to really imagine a machlekes with Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, if there was a leader that would be indisputable, we would think it was Moshe Rabbeinu. He came. He took us out of Mitzrayim single-handedly as the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and selflessly, without taking any types of, like he says, lo chamor echad lakachti, he didn't take even one donkey, forget a limousine or a stretch limousine for his position. And nevertheless, Korach somehow found a way over here to undermine all of Teres Hashem as given as Teres Moshe. Right? We find that the first thing you're supposed to teach a child, you're supposed to teach him two things. One is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the other one is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, which is a fascinating thing. You teach a child Shema, what's Shema about? Hashem. But when you teach a child about Torah, you teach them about Moshe. If I was writing the script, I would say Torah Tziva Lanu Hashem. But you see that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah have to go together. Because if there was no Moshe Rabbeinu who would have been that intermediary, then we wouldn't have the Dvar Hashem. And as much as you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is not my own Chiddush, it's the Mechilta. The Mechilta says an amazing thing. Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. They believed in Hashem and his servant. Wow. Emuna in Hashem and Emuna in Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Mechilta, that the pasuk is make makish Emuna b'Hashem and Emuna in Moshe Rabbeinu. Emuna in Moshe Rabbeinu is absolutely essential. However, the koach of machlokas is such, and the truth is we've seen this many times, where people know exactly how to reinterpret things, to reinvent, to have revisionist history. And the koach of machlokas is to take even the obvious things and have us second guess them. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the threat to Teres Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha, and the necessity and the ikur in the Rambam of believing that Teres Moshe Rabbeinu is min hashamayim. In fact, the makar for the Rambam in Ikrei Emuna is for the idea of Torah min hashamayim is the pasuk in this week's parsha. Vayomer Moshe b'zois teidun ki Hashem shlachani lasos kol ma'itzim ha'eli ki lo mi libi. The Rambam brings that one of the Ikrei Emuna is to believe that Teres Moshe is the only Torah we have or will ever have. And the makar for his ikur is not anywhere else. He does not bring any other makar other than in this week's parsha when Moshe Rabbeinu is forced to validate his own nevuah as being the Dvar Hashem. And this is the idea of Teres Moshe. So let's try to get into this pasuk, which is a very interesting pasuk, a very perplexing pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu has to validate himself in front of Klal Yisrael. Vayomer Moshe. Bizois teidun ki Adonai shlachani lasos eis kol ha'maitzim ha'ela ki lo mi libi. It will be through this that I will be validated, that everything that I'm doing is through Hashem, and it is not of my own decision. It is not something that was my own shikol hadas. Im kemos kol adam yemusun eilo v'gudas kol adam yipakad aleim lo Adonai shlachani. If these people die a natural death, Hashem did not send me. Now if you read these psukim seriously, which I would be afraid to do, but we'll see the Medrash Rabbah does. It sounds like Moshe put all of his chips, I think that's the expression, all of his chips on the table. I mean, right over here, basically, if it wasn't enough that he took us out of Mitzrayim, right? If it wasn't enough that he went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu chose over here to say, it's either this or I lose everything. If something crazy happens right now, then I'm real. And if not, then I'm a faker. That's what the pasuk says. Be'im, and not just a unnatural death. Im bria yivra adonai. ufatzta adam es pia uvala isam es kol asher lem yardu chaim shoyla viadatem kiniyatu anashim eiles adonai. If you see a new creation, okay, not just some sort of bizarre death, which there's always been magefas and those type plagues and all those types of things, but a new creation that has never been seen on the face of planet Earth. As we know from the Mishnah and Avos, there are certain things that were created at the beginning of time, right? Bein Hashmashos, at the very end of creation on Yom Shishi. One of them was this hole that swallowed up Korach v'Adasa. What's going on over here? This is very, very intense. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, if this doesn't happen, then game over, game over. And really, the Medrash says this. The Medrash says, on this pasuk, it's in Parsha Yud Ches of Medrash Rabbah, Os Yud Beis, says the following. Ze echad mishloshe nevim sh'amru b'lashan zeh. There are three Nevi'im who talked this way, who basically put everything on, all of it on the line. And one of them was Eliyahu. Eliyahu says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Yisrael. Hayom yivada ki atah Elokim b'Yisrael v'ani avdecha. Today will be known that you are Hashem, and I am your servant. U'bidvarcha asisis kol advarim eila, and that I was your shliach. Aneni Hashem, aneni v'yedu ki amazah atah Hashem Elokim, v'atas yibosis liba macharnis. Im ein ata onosi, if you don't answer me, ani omer ata zivosis liba macharnis, then I will say, basically, it's your problem, not mine. And the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is this so? Why does this have to be a new creation brought here to swallow up Korach v'Adasa? And Moshe Rabbeinu puts himself on the line. So the Medrash explains with the following mashal. Amar echad, there was once a melech who had a daughter who got married. L'shushvin bito shel melech shayu edoseh b'yado. One of the accompaniers of the bas melech had the cloth that proves that the daughter of the melech was a besula, and on the first night of her marriage was consummated with besulin, that she was in fact a besula. Amar echad min ha-mesubin v'kilo es ha-shushbin v'amar lo yu besulin l'bito shel melech. And someone claimed that this shushbin was a phony, and this cloth that he had was a fraud, and it's all a farce. And he was challenging this accompanier of the bas melech. Amar ha-shushbin k'neged ha-melech. So the shushman came in front of the king. If you don't execute this person who's challenging me, your faithful servant, I myself will doubt whether your daughter had besulim. Whoa, it's true, I got the cloth that validated this, but you never know. I mean, it was behind closed doors, and you know, there could have been a window over there. Someone could have slipped something in. You never know exactly what could have happened. After all, if you're the king and you don't defend my honor, I'll be like, wait a second, why isn't the king on my side? Maybe he knows something about his daughter that nobody else knows. And he says, even I, Afani Omer, Bevade Shalonim Subasulim Vito Shomelech, Miad Omer Amelech, Mutavli Lara Gezev, Velo Yotzi Ashushvin Shem Ra'al Biti. He says, it's better that I kill this person who was Makal the Shushbin, and that the Shushbin should not be Motzi Hashem Ra Alibi. Kach Korach Nechlak Al Moshe. Korach challenged Moshe, V'amr Belibo Me'atma Amr Moshe called Zvarim. Moshe fabricated the entire Torah. Pasach Moshe V'rachmanu Litzlan. Pasach Moshe V'amr Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im Mesim Eilu Al Mitaisam. If these people die, even a natural death, they even just get ill and they just get visited by doctors like everyone else. Then I myself will say that this is not real. What does that mean? Okay, this is a very dangerous medrash, right? Do we really believe that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know he was the real chosen person for the Torah? Did he really not believe that he was Mekabel the Torah? Here you get the impression that he says to Hashem, Hashem, look, if you help me with some sort of unnatural death for these people, then fine. If not, then I'm, Rachman Tzai, I'm going to read the Lashon of the Medrash. Afani kofer v'omer lo Hashem shlachani umilibi amarti. I myself will say that I was hallucinating up there at Har Sinai. What's going on over here? So I think that the way to understand this medrash is the following. It's a difficult medrash, but there's something here that we have to understand, which is that the Dvar Hashem is something that is totally absolute. It's something that every single part of it is true and has to be true. Why? Because by the Ribbono Shalom is perfect, and his Torah is perfect. And by nature, anything that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be perfect. If there's even a hole in this Torah, this Dvar Hashem, even a slight hole, that itself is kfira. That itself makes Moshe Rabbeinu into a kofer. Milibi. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, if to our generation, the first generation who got the Torah, it's not clear to us, meaning later generation, we're going to have plenty of apikorsa. But here, Maamid Har Sinai is the thing that has to be unquestionable by our generation. If there's even a question, that makes us have kfira. Kfira is having questions. When it comes to the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the very idea of an Ikr is something that must be accepted as a reality. By nature, if there's a question, then there's a problem. And the first generation of being Mekablei Torah, these were not just, Stam Yetzer Haras. This would have undermined the entire Matan Torah. So why did Hashem have to create a new creation? The same reason Hashem had to do Matan Torah. Because this now was questioning the validity of Matan Torah. If some nace wouldn't happen, that actually was from the beginning of creation, right? We know. What's the whole idea of creation? Why was the world created? For what? For the Torah. Someone bring me a raya that the Torah was created for the Torah. That the world was created for the Torah. A Rashi and Brachos I'm looking for.
Hashem looked into the Torah and created.
That's true, but I'm looking for something specific. A Rashi in Parshas Brachos. On the sixth day of creation. There's a lashon of the way the sixth day of creation is set over. It's called Yom HaShishi. Why is it called the sixth day? Why is it called the sixth day? It should be, right, Yom Shishi. Why Yom HaShishi? Right? So Rashi says a very important thing that we have to remember. I'm sure everyone's seen it, but we still have to remember it. Yom HaShishi means that the world was pending whether or not it should continue existing or not. And it was all tully on the sixth day. Which sixth day are we referring to? What? Vav Sivan. Vav Sivan was the day of Matan Torah. The entire world is depending on Matan Torah. Isn't it fascinating that when was this thing created, this thing in the ground to swallow, this hole to swallow up Korach? When was it created? On Yom HaShishi. Because this was the Dor HaMidbar. This was the door that needed to see the Yom HaShishi. They needed to have clear that the world is for Torah. And like what Rabbi Chanan was saying, that after you know this, you can now understand Istako Baraiso Bari Alma. Hashem created the entire world derech the Torah. But there can't be any questions on the Torah, and there can't be questions on Moshe Rabbeinu. And I don't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was really threatening Hashem to have doubt. Moshe Rabbeinu was simply stating a reality. If there's doubt in my nevuah, then be'etzem there's kfira in Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem can't have doubts. Can't have doubts. And in fact, the Kuzari tells us that the derech that we're supposed to have emunah is not to have such deep understanding of Hashem's existence in the world or Bible codes or all sorts of things. It's simply to trust that our great, however many great grandparents were at Maamid Har Sinai. Because anyone who was there had no doubts. And he says this is the only time where there was a mass revelation among all the religions in the world, right? Try to get two Jews to agree on anything. You can't. The greatest nace is to get millions of Jews to agree that they were in one place with one guy. Like everybody says, no, I was Moshe Rabbeinu. No, I was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. right? This is the greatest nes, was to get millions of Jews to agree on something, right? Kayadua. Imagine what we looked like before the Torah. We were really fighting. It's actually true. The Medrash says that before Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael went from machlokas to machlokas. That's the lashon. That's the lashon until Vayichan Sham Neged Ahar. They finally agreed on something. They finally agreed. But the idea is not to know something great. The idea is to know that at that moment where there was no doubt, my Zaidi was there and he passed it down from generation to generation. So over here, this is not just some nudnik or apikiris. Koruch was a great man. He had Ruach HaKodesh. And he found a way to make them doubt the thing that was supposed to be unquestionable. The very thing that could not have any doubts. For the next generation, you could maybe have doubts and work on it. And then remember that Zaidi was there. But in the first generation, if there was any type of doubt, no. So Moshe Rabbeinu put all of his chips on the table, because without that, there's no survival for Dvar Hashem. The nature of doubt in an Ikar of Emunah is Kfira. There's a difference between a question, a clarification, and an attack. All of us are allowed to have questions. I field questions all day and I ask questions. Questions are not an attack. The difference between a question and an attack is the tone. Right? A person wants to understand Ikare Imuna. They're clarifying them. They understand that this Torah that we got is perfect. It's from Moshe Rabbeinu. It was passed down Midor Lador. But I'm having some difficulties of clarification. But then there's an attacker. And when someone changes his tone of voice, he's threatening the Torah and has to be taken care of. So over here, literally, there was some sort of reserve in Sheshes Yimei Breishis of how to deal with an attack on the Dvar Hashem, on the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if anyone gets a chance, it could be that maybe over Shalosh Shudas, I don't know who will be here, but if I'm here, something I did last year, which might be on recording, was I explained last year, B'siyata Dishmaya, the way Korach was able to totally uproot something that everyone thought was obvious. He was a mastermind at Leitzanus, and he knew exactly what he was doing. Maybe we'll discuss it at Shalosh Shudas for whoever's here. But Al Kolpanim, the Rambam over here brings in Yesod HaShmini of Yud Gimel Ikrim that a person has to believe HaTorah min HaShemayim V'ushinamin ki kol HaTorah zos tenesun al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu shikula mipi HaGvura. Every part of the Torah, every ois, every teva, klomar sheigi alav kula meis HaShem Yisbarach v'inyin shenikra al derech HaSheila Dibur v'en yadua heichagia elayim Moshe alav HaShem sheigi alav. Moshe brought it v'chihu Haya kemo sofer shekoren lo vu kosev kol ma'oras hayam ma'sipurim v'amitzvos v'lefikach nikra mechaykek v'ein hefresh ben b'nei cham v'kush mitzrayim. There's no difference in the Torah between the words b'nei cham, kush, and mitzrayim, which are names of lowlifes. Names of lowlifes. V'shem ishto mitavel. And the wife of one of the Zion Malachim Shemalchu be'edom. Right? Why do we need to know that? Agav, it's fascinating to know that this name, called the wife of I think it's Hadar, the eighth melech of Shemalchu Be'edom, the Arizal is Marech Ad Ein Shir of the Soidus HaTaira that come out from this word that the Rambam picked over here. This Eish Eschayil it just struck me. I heard this from my Rebbeim. V'shem ishto mihitavel. If you look at it, the word is yitav kel. Hashem will do good for us. And all of Yemos Mashiach is merumas in this woman's name, even though she's a shiksa. So, just goes to show you that the Rambam didn't have that Kabbalah. By the way, the Rambam did not have the Kabbalah of the Zohar, but the Rambam had emuna. The Rambam didn't need that. We're not in a Kiruv program over here. The Rambam knew that the Dvar Hashem has to be that way. It doesn't matter whether or not you know the Arizal or you have a Kabbalah from Shimon Bar Yochai. You'll find out when you get there, after Me'ev Esrin. Emunah means that something's absolutely true whether you know about it or not. It just happens to be fascinating. V'timna haisa pilegesh, and also the pilegesh timna, these are things that are, you know, they're, you're talking about shiksas over here. Shiksas. That's the Pashup Shat. There's Shiksas. Shiksas and Shvartzes, Cham. This is what we're talking about. Ubein Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shema Yisrael. You're not allowed to believe there's a difference between those psukim and Anochi Hashem, which is the yisod of all Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, all Dvar Hashem, Anochi Hashem, and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why can't you believe there's a difference in the psukim even? Why not just say there's like levels over here? In fact, this is one of the major shailas lahalacha about standing for the Aseres HaDibros. This is a major issue that comes up. Forgetting whether our minhag is there to not, our minhag is to stand up. I believe maybe we have some who don't have that minhag. The Rambam actually was against standing up for it, which is interesting, because there's a danger in people thinking that the Aseres HaDibros are more significant than any other part of the Torah. If you have to stand up for one part, so then, wait, why am I standing up for this and not for the other? The real answer is, according to our minhag, that we stand up for the Aseres HaDibros, is like Rav Saadia Gaon said, that the Aseres HaDibros managed to encompass all of the Taryag mitzvahs that we have. There are 10 roots to all of the Taryag mitzvahs. So we're not standing up because it's more significant necessarily, but because it represents a being mekabel, the entire Torah. But if a person would believe that anything is less, it can't be. If it comes from Hashem, when Hashem says, Timna, Haisa Pilegesh, it's Dvar Hashem. And Dvar Hashem has to be perfect and great on the same level as Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Then the Rambam continues, Ki akol mipi agvura, v'akol taras Hashem tzmima v'tar v'kedusha emes. It's all taras Hashem. The Ramban says a similar thing, and the Ramban brings lahalacha, a very important point, which we probably take for granted, that if even one vav is missing, one vav from a malay, right? There are certain words that you can read with a vav or without a vav, right? Sometimes they're malay, sometimes they're chaser. Sometimes they come with a vav, sometimes they come without a vav. If we have a Masaira that something is supposed to have a vav, a word has a vav, and it doesn't have a vav, and you can read it so beautifully, perfectly, without this vav, the Sefer Torah is 100% pasul. 100% pasul. Every single Birchas HaTorah that's made on the Sefer Torah is pasul, is a bracha levatala, etc., etc. Every Kriyas HaTorah, no one was yotze with such a thing. Why? Because the Torah is absolutely true. It's not about the storyline. It's about, like Elchanan mentioned, the Torah is the blueprint of the world. It's an absolute truth. It doesn't exist with any. If you took out any one of these things, it doesn't exist. V'zeh she'omer shekmo eila ha'psukim v'asipurim Moshe Siprim midaito hinei u'etzel chachmeinu v'nevim kofer u'megala panim b'yoser mikol ha'kofer. Whoever says that these stories that Moshe told, he thought would be good stories for you to get chizuk from, this would be a good idea, he's called a kofer and he's megala panim yoser mikol ha'kofrim. He's the biggest kofer of them all. Lefisha chashav sheyesh b'torah lev v'klipa. He thought that the Torah has essential parts and less important parts. Now, if, as the Medrash says, im davar reku, if there's something in the Torah that's reik, michem, you're the one who's empty, not the Torah. I remember, for years, I found Vayikra to be reik. I'm embarrassed to say Vayikra, because it was all about kodshim. Now, my most exciting part of the Torah is Vayikra, because I learned Seder Kodshim, and it's so exciting to see all of the things that come alive from these psukim. But when I was reik, so then it felt reik, but the problem wasn't me. And then now I'm learning Tyrus, and before going through Tyrus, I went through all the psukim with my chavrusa, who's a bucky in Tyrus. My chavrusa has been learning Tyrus for a whopping 14 years, all day, writing Sfarim. You can get brachas from him. He's a very tahor person. He's a yavu tahorim v'yasku v'tyrus. 14 years, he's a bucky in Seder Tyrus. And as he's showing me all these psukim, these are psukim that I never cared about, and I'm looking at them with such anticipation. And now it's like, it's so exciting. Wow, Zav, right? Oh, every time Zav comes up, it's like, oh, like, whoa, Tumas Kalim. whether it's Sakh or Kesef, right? My dear friend Yosef, who was honored at the Beis HaMerchatz last night, I saw him with my Chavrusa in Bein HaStarim. They were counting, they were writing pages and pages. What were they doing? They were writing 250 metal kalim in Maseches Kalim that are Mekabel Tuma. So I'm like, whoa, this is, like, I felt humbled by this. But when you have a chias, so then your Torah is a chias. And when you don't have a chias, you have to know it's your problem, not the Torah's problem. I often find that when we have problems with the Torah and we have problems with Emunah, like what I once heard from Rav Elchanan Wasserman, someone needed chizak, you know, in Emunah and Hashem, and Rav Elchanan asked him, he says, let me ask you a question. What came first? You started misbehaving and started causing trouble, or your doubts in Hashem? And he said, my misbehaving and my... Says, that's the answer to your questions in Emunah. It's like, if your questions only start when you have issues, so that means you have the issues. The Dvar Hashem is Yashar. Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev is that the Torah is straight. The biggest chizuk I get in Emunah is that naturally, when you spend a lot of time on something, you see it's not as exciting as it's cracked up to be. That's just the way it is. Sometimes you really want to get a kesher with somebody, you hear he's amazing, and then you get too much of a kesher with him, and you realize he's not what he's cracked up to be. Right? We're all bus of a dumb. I'm sure people feel like they were gypped when they start having a kesher with me, because we're all bus of a dumb, and the more you start looking into people, you say, he's all right, Rabbi Stark. Nice guy. Nice guy. And that's normal with regular people. But the biggest chizuk to me is in Dvar Hashem, the more you learn, the more you realize it's Dvar Hashem. There's nothing to hide over here. It's simply years and years. The more you invest in this, you don't find holes. You find answers. You find clarity. And it's just, it builds on itself. And you're more and more overwhelmed by how big it is and how amazing it is and how it couldn't have been created by Yilud Isha. At this point, I don't understand. Now I feel I've gotten to a point that I don't understand how a human being wrote the Rambam. I'm forgetting the actual Torah of Hashem here in the Chumash. It's hard for me to understand how a human being was capable of writing the Rambam. But I have to have emunah that there was a human being called the Rambam. But he did write it Beruach HaKodesh, so that at least is an achama. Hashem was definitely extremely involved in writing the Rambam. But this is our Torah. The Torah is one that is perfect, that there's no doubts in. And the more a person accepts this emunah, the more the person will be able to find all of the clarity that they need. And we should all be zeicha to be mekabel the Torah Hashem, b'simcha, b'ava, b'dveikis, and with emunah shleima.